Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross. When we start increasing the amount of exercise we do, it's important to give consideration to what and how much we eat to ensure we sustain our energy levels and also recover well. We covered nutrition for your dog in episode 22 of our series, which we definitely recommend you should have a listen to if you haven't already. But what about the human's needs? How can you ensure you're eating the right food and the right amounts to get the most out of your Canicross sessions? Well, I'm really pleased to welcome Ellie Migliorini to today's episode. She's a food mentor and founder of Cook Simply Cook Cookery School, as well as being a very keen Canicrosser. And also with us today is DogFit trainer Lara Truin, who introduced Ali to the world of Canicross and has equally benefited from Ali's knowledge and enjoyed her fair share of Ali's yummy recipes. So a big welcome to you both. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you.
Hello. It's so lovely to have you on. And Ali, we can't wait to hear about some of your delicious recipes as well and what we should be doing within our nutrition. So thank you so much for coming on this episode. But for the benefit of everyone here listening, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your background, including your business, Cook Simply Cook? How did it come about and what was your motivation to teach and inspire others?
Thank you both for inviting me. So I founded the Cook School in 2016. And it seemed perfect follow-on from my passion of cooking. I had studied food science half a lifetime ago. I'd lived in Asia for 5 years, massively influenced by the food cultures there. My husband and I had set up a walking business and we ran a restaurant for walkers that came from all over the world. Obviously, what came with that were dietary requirements, so I swiftly had to understand a bit more about what I was cooking. About the same time, I was starting to get into longer running and coastal ultras, multi-day events, and started to really think I must get on board with my own nutrition rather than just eating chocolate and jelly babies, really. So that's how it evolved, my love of the outdoors and cementing that with good food.
Tell us a bit about your actual business. How did that get started in the first place? What took you from someone who was quite interested in food and obviously doing your ultras and that the outdoor lifestyle to actually want to launch your business and inspire others to sort of eat wholesome food?
So basically, I was involved in lots of different clubs. Lara was on board really early days. There was a fantastic club, or still is actually, Rats Bude Rats. And again, we started from the basics. And all of us at that point were exploring longer distances, different disciplines. And I was making my own recipes up back then, sharing, obviously, what I was cooking. They started to get on board with some of my recipes, and then I started teaching them how to make my energy balls and smoothies. And I just saw a gap in the market, I think, locally. Nobody was doing anything remotely close to covering nutrition for sport. And at the end of the day, I just wanted to share what I was learning. It was all tried and tested. Obviously, what worked for me doesn't always necessarily work for others, but I was showing people where I started and how I got to where I was in the running world, and it was working. And so my ideas evolved from that, really, wanting others to be on board with eating good stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure that they were probably watching what you were eating on when you're on these long runs and thinking, oh, that looks much nicer than my pre-made off-the-shelf snack. But what's really interesting is obviously you're a Canicrosser, and we always, we're always interested in the dogs. What should the dogs be eating? And so often we actually overlook ourselves. So it's going to be really good to hear more about those recipes. But you are a canny crosser. Tell us a bit about your dog and how the two of you first discovered the sport.
Well, that was all down to Lara, thankfully, starting her business in Bude. So I had a Springer Spaniel before Ziggy, my boy at the moment. She was nearly 14 years old, so unfortunately she couldn't do any running with me. But Lara was just getting into canicrossing, and basically I borrowed my friend's dog, little Penny, who was a rescue, little black Sprocker, and saw what Lara was doing, and it started from there. We started running together, and then I started running with an Italian Spinoni, completely different, Bertie. She was fun. And then she came and went, her owners moved away, and then my husband and I signed up to be fosterers to Spaniel Aid UK when we lost our Spaniel Ellie. And lo and behold, 6 months later, Ziggy and his blind brother Nico very quickly landed into our lives. And very quickly I turned to Lara for help. I think it was literally within 48 hours of her because they were really feral. They were 13 months old, and we had to find a way to decompress them, didn't we, Lara?
Yeah, I can always remember that first meeting. They were absolutely like a box of frogs that had been let out. They were incredible. But yeah, we can talk about that later, I guess.
Well, yeah, well, let's talk about it now, because I'm really interested to know. So Ellie comes to you with her two new dogs, feral dogs. So how did you go about that as a canicross instructor? Because that's like a new challenge in itself, isn't it?
I mean, these boys hadn't had any sort of outdoor life, really, had they, Ellie? They'd been in a conservatory. So they were, I've never seen dogs like that at all. And now when you look at Ziggy, he's such a different dog. But we got them on the canicross harnesses and got them on the lines. And that was a job in itself. But and then we just took them across the fields, and we were just, both of us knew how to control through the harnesses. And they were all over the shop, weren't they, Ali? Yeah. They were zigzagging everywhere, they were their nose to the ground. There was no way commands were coming into play at that point. But we just allowed them to, you know, do their thing, obviously all under our control. And gradually, I think it was just out of sheer desperation, wasn't it, Ali? I can remember your face when you came here. Yeah. And I think, hope you don't mind me saying, but you did burst into tears.
Yeah.
Because it was overwhelming. They were overwhelming, two of them. They were literally dumped with you. Not dumped, but you had to rescue them. It was an emergency rescue, a foster. And so you absolutely took them on. And it was incredible watching them. Over the next couple of weeks, we took them out, didn't we?
A lot.
I took Nico out on one line. You took Ziggy out on another. And Nico being blind, that was a different concept altogether, because I'd never taken a blind dog before. But bit by bit, they really started to wind down, find themselves. That was through your doing as well at home. But canicross seemed like, well, having them on the canicross lines, trekking and running, seemed to really sort of allow them to explore, but also in a really safe environment, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine if they've not been out before,
they were crazed.
Stuff going on, and they're taking in the new surroundings. Suddenly they've got a new lease of life, and they're trying to get to know a new mum. You know, it's all quite, you know, quite tough. You know, it must be quite hard for the dogs to adjust. And then you said Nico being blind. So how, and he ran on his own rather than attached to Ziggy then? You run him separately, is that right?
Well, it was great. When we initially took them out, Lara was with me. And it was fantastic to watch, actually, because I think Nico just listened to Ziggy's pace. And, you know, as they got used to the pair of us taking them out and I got more confident with how I could deal with them, I used to have them both then attached to me on a harness, and I'd be running them in a safe trail where they could run alongside each other, obviously within harness on the long lead. And he was incredible. The confidence just grew very, very quickly. It was absolutely beautiful to watch, actually.
I bet.
very, very clever and desperate to be outside all the time.
How long ago was that that you rescued?
Ziggy's now four, so it was 3 years ago, nearly 4 years ago. So they came as 13 months old with no house manners whatsoever. It was like having a pair of St. Trinians in the kitchen.
Wow. Are they completely transformed now? They are
just divine. I mean, I might be slightly biased. Ziggy was too gorgeous. He failed the police and became extremely comfortable with us. So Ziggy stayed with us, who is an absolute delightful soul. And we found a great home for Nico locally. So we still see them.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, that's really lovely to hear. So obviously, Lara, you do plenty of canny crossing. Obviously, you know Ali. So what has her knowledge of healthy food helped you in particular? What kind of ways has that helped your running and energy? Because you're on the go all the time.
Yeah, especially this season. That's why I called out to her recently, because we're upping our training quite a lot in the group. But in the past, I could never stomach any gels or jelly babies. When we used to do our longer runs, I used to just really suffer with sensitive tummy. And of course, the only things that were offered, especially in road races that I was doing at the time, because this was pre-Canicross, I just felt awful. I used to feel really sick and really quite faint as well. Yeah. So I knew something wasn't right. My nutrition wasn't right. I wasn't probably prepping well enough. And so when we were on our runs together, very often the conversation always, pretty much always, turned to food. Because, I mean, what do runners talk about other than food, really? And this is where Ali came in with all her wonderful snacks that she used to have in her backpack. She used to be like, it used to be a mini picnic, mini buffet in her backpack. So, you know, we'd never lost sight of Ali because we knew that she'd always get us through a run no matter what. So I can remember the first time she ever took, it was like a foil packet, which looked really dodgy. She opened up this foil packet and inside was a medjool date filled with peanut butter with a pecan nut on the top. And she just said, right, bite into that. And I was like, and it's the most delicious thing that I'd ever tasted on that run. It's like a mini Mars bar, but it hit all the right spots. There was the date, the energy from the dates, the sweetness from the dates, the peanut butter and the pecan nut was just the topping. And I will always remember trying that for the very first time and thinking, why on earth does anyone eat jelly babies and take gels when they've got this? Yeah. I mean, why would you? Yeah. So I've never taken gels or anything since.
And are these particular treats easy to carry and they don't get squished and soggy?
No.
And like that?
Well, as Ali has taught me, you get the best quality ingredients. So the medjool dates are perfect. They're just like their own little wrapping, aren't they? Mm. Because they don't squish into anything. No. You just take the stone out, fill in with peanut butter, and then you just wrap it in your tin foil, which looks quite dodgy when you open it on the trail. But it's... honestly, that's what I've started introducing to my lot, and that's why I wanted Ali on board with my Canicross crew, because they are upping their miles. Therefore, we were looking at nutrition.
Yeah.
And it was it's a no-brainer. I've got to get Ali in because she knows what she's talking about. But it's not just when we're on the run, it's about loading your body in preparation for doing the sport you want to do.
Yeah.
So that's where Ali came in with all her.
So that food that you were talking about. So what's in that food that makes it so good for runners? You know, because if someone's listening to this podcast, they're thinking, okay, sounds lovely, but what is it about the foods that are in there that are really going to help me sustain my energy levels and recover well?
We are just looking at nature's bounty. You know, it's just all whole foods, nothing. No nasties in it. You know, it does what it says on the tin. You know, a date is nature's natural sugars. We're filling it with a nut butter, which is salty, sweet, it's fat, it's protein. And then whatever we add on top of it is just going to sort of, it's a complete nutritional bite. the thing I love about it is they're versatile. So it's not just, you know, it's not just dates. It's other forms of fruits like bananas. It's what you do with them, what you combine them with to make them just a little bit more nourishing and energizing over and above the gels. I know there's lots of natural gels and superfood sports drinks, etc., out there, but at the end of the day, once you've burnt through that, there's nothing left in the tank. And the thing that I used to that used to really affect me is the slump afterwards. Once burnt through that refined sugar, then the tank is empty, and then you also then have to think how you're going to nourish yourself, how you're going to repair those cells once, you know, you've finished running, you know. And there was no goodness in that. That plus the, you know, sort of the wasteful packaging. I mean, the thing is, it's the lack of knowledge, I think, at the moment, which is another reason why I set the school up, is there's a real lack of knowledge of basic things you can do to nourish yourself every day. And it's not just when you're racing. It's like Lara said, it's before, during and after. And that is what keeps you well.
Yeah. I was going to say education is an important part, isn't it? Because I imagine there's some people will think, oh, it's quite a big adjustment. It's going to take up my time. I don't know where to start. You know, and it's very easy to go for the quick, you know, cheaper foods. They're already, so yeah. What do you say to those people that are thinking, oh, this is a lot of work?
What I try and do with all the workshops is show people real key basics. It's a bit like a training plan. It's setting yourself up for food success. So even if you have to drill down to a food diary, it's making small, simple changes every day that become a habit. So with running, you know, sort of hydration is key. That's the first thing for runners. It's being on board with that. None of us drink enough. We're all time poor, you know, but that's something that you think to yourself, right, today I'm going to make a real effort to drink X amount of glasses of something. But I say, like I say to the runners, instead of just taking on board water, let's add more nutrition to it. So whether it's a drink or a plate of food, I'm not saying to them, I want you to leave things out. I'm asking them to step back and think, what else can I add to that drink or that plate of food to make it more nourishing as well as tasty, so that not only are you sustaining yourself with the energy which you need when you're running, you're also sort of restoring, looking after yourself at the same time. So it's small, simple changes, and I start with store cupboard staples. We usually look at what people have in their cupboards, because basically that is your success story. If you haven't got it there ready to use, that's when you'll make a poor food choice and you'll grab the chocolate or the jelly baby. You know, if you've got dates in house and you've got some really nourishing basic ingredients, nuts and seeds, those are the runner's best friends, and then we build on it. But yeah, I try and make it fun and simple and obtainable, because otherwise you just lose people. Really basic guidelines as to how you can make things work for you. You have to try a lot of things. Everybody has a unique gut biome. What works for me might necessarily work for yourselves. But there's lots and lots of things to help you put tools in place. And it's a case of trial and error. And that's where the practice comes in, when you're, you know, you're out there running with your dog, what works for you both, not on race day.
No.
That's really interesting. I mean, for somebody listening to this podcast, maybe who's started running with their dogs, they're regularly doing maybe a 5K, they're upping their exercise together, what sort of things should they be mindful of? You know, I mean, a lot of us just go straight out and run without breakfast. I know I'm one that person that does that. What should be some of the things that they might think about adding into their diet as they're increasing what they're doing?
Just whole natural food. So, you know, I never used to be able to run on anything in the morning, but even now I might literally grab a nibble of a banana, a slice of apple with a bit of nut butter on it, a handful of nuts themselves, something really simple, or a sip of a smoothie that I've made that may be based on some oats, a nut milk, maybe some nut butter, maybe some avocado, maybe even a green smoothie. Not a lot, you know, knowing yourself what will work for you, but something really simple. It's not always sweet stuff. Lots of people like savoury, so little cubes of omelette bites, maybe some hummus on a bit of celery, something really simple to begin with. And then obviously it's really dependent how many miles you're doing as to how much food you should have. But basically everything, every time you're eating is a time to think about properly about how you're nourishing yourself, not just quick fixes. And that's also about having things in the fridge that you can quickly grab, even if it's chunks of cheese. That was something else that was really useful to have, you know.
Oh, cheese is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a double whammy because most people can eat cheese as well. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, they love the cheese. So when you're out doing a longer run, you know, what sort of distances do you, Lara and Ali, you know, personally start to have snacks? You know, because, you know, a lot of people might go out and do a 5K or 10K and not feel the need to have food. But if you're doing marathons or ultras, you know, with or without your dog, you're going to start needing to think about your nutrition, aren't you? But I just wondered whether you feel there's a sort of, for you, whether there's a certain distance where you feel like you need to have some nutrition from you.
It's a really tough one because I think you get to a point and you don't feel hungry. This is what used to work with me, or wasn't so good for me rather, is I never got hungry. So long as you're hydrating and that is bringing you some element of nutrition, that's okay. But I suppose go beyond the hour, and if you know you're going to be out for quite a few hours, it's little bits here and there rather than, you know, great big picnic and then trying to run, because generally you want to keep your legs moving. So hydration isn't just about water. I speak a lot about using natural electrolytes, like coconut water is really, really good alternative for jazzing up your water and infusing it with fruits and vegetables to bring you sweet and natural sugars that way. I don't know about you, Lara. I mean, for me, I can go quite a long time, but I think small snacks beyond an hour, then it's little nibbles of things.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm the complete opposite. I need to graze a lot. So I tend to take things out if I'm going any longer than 10K, only because I know I just get the nibbles and I need to eat something. And that's when things like the date comes in, and a nice energy ball, flapjack, oat-based. But on my longer runs, when I was doing, we were training for an ultra together, weren't we? And I used to then start taking things like cut up frittata, and it's not pretty when it comes out the bag, but do you know what, it was what I needed at that time. I can remember one checkpoint, they had cherry tomatoes on a really hard coastal marathon I was doing, and the cherry tomatoes was just something else. I mean, I, you know, that was a light bulb for me. I was like, this is so easy to carry as well. I mean, cherry tomato, popped it in my mouth. It was like someone had given me a Lucozade tablet. Energy. So yeah, it really depends on how far I go. But if I'm going anything over 10K, which is what I'm training our lot up to do a half marathon at the moment, I'm getting them to train to take food on whilst they're running, so that then when it comes to the day, they might not need to take on that energy, but if they do, they've trained to take it on, and their stomachs are comfortable with it. They know what works for them. I think, like Ali said, I can't just tell people take a date with a bit of peanut butter and you'll be fine, because it might not work for you. But if you can try lots of different things, you'll find the thing that works for you. But I just know that the whole foods work so much better for my stomach and for running and eating on the go. I can't imagine now taking anything else other than real food.
So Laura, apart from the dates with the peanut butter and the nuts on, what's your favorite of Ali's recipes, or what's your go-to?
Yeah, well, it's the overnight oats. We're talking about preparation. So my breakfast of choice, if I'm going to go on a run, is the Black Forest overnight oats recipe. That is just the business, because it's got cherries, it's got oats, it's got cacao powder in. What else it's got? It's got nuts and seeds. I mean, it's just one complete meal. It doesn't leave me feeling too full, but yeah, it's got everything I need in it. And it is just so delicious, made with almond milk. I have it with almond milk. And it is delicious. So you make it the night before, you pot it up into a little jam jar. I literally go to the fridge, munch my way through it. It's like a, I don't even need to be awake fully to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it's, and it's also one of the things that you can pack in your bag if you're on a really early rise and you really don't feel like breakfast at 5 o'clock in the morning when you're setting out. I pack it and then eat some of it if I've got enough time before the race, and then eat the rest after the race. So,
yeah.
But it's just so easy because you've prepped it already, you know it's there. And yeah, that is my all-time favourite.
So this all-time favourite of yours, is this something that people can get access to on your website, Ali?
Yes, yeah. I mean, there, if they just simply Google overnight oats, I mean, it's having those string of words as well. There are hundreds and hundreds of places online that you will suddenly get the most incredible combinations. I mean, we've just talked about the sweet offerings. There are offerings there for savory options as well. And the whole thing about having this food prepared, it's not only a physical thing, it's really a mental support thing as well. If you know that you are race ready and you have covered your back, you've done the mileage, you've got your food under the belt, you've got some stuff in the backpack, that if you come to the checkpoint and there's nothing on the table that you want to eat, or if you choose literally to eat what you've made, then, you know, you've set yourself up for success. And these little jars are so useful. It's one of the key things I get my students to invest in. Even if you save a peanut butter jar or a pickle jar, you wash it out, you can take anything in that jar. Hummus layered with salad, avocado, we've talked about what you should fuel up with. You know, it's carbohydrates are the runner's real forms of fuel, but then you need some fat in there and you need some protein. If you mix that up, you've got a really good chance of nourishing yourself on the go. And that's during, and then afterwards, obviously, a good half an hour window of time afterwards, you want to be eating some good protein and fat, start mending those muscles.
So, yeah, and I guess it's about practicing as well beforehand. If you are working to leading up to an event, as practicing your nutrition and working out what helps and what works.
It's really powerful, and I think we've already seen that in the group that we hosted the nutrition workshop for a week or so ago. They were completely on it, on board already, and you know, a week later, it's been like a bit of a light bulb moment for them, and they've only just put very simple things in place. And I think sports nutrition can become really confusing and complex, and what I'm trying to do is make it really obtainable and simple. You know, let's try some really simple ingredients, get cooking those, get trying them as you're running, before, during and after, and we're seeing some great results. It's brilliant. And these are things that everybody can take on board. They're not expensive and they're not time consuming.
Fantastic. So Lara, you, in terms of your clients, what sort of results are you seeing? So obviously it's a combination of your, you know, Dogfit trainer skills combined with Ali's nutrition, recommendations. But are you seeing some really good results from it?
Yeah, definitely. Michelle, who's one of the girls that's with us, she was really struggling with her energy and saying how she really was. She's got celiac as well. So she was really struggling to work out how to get more food in. She felt like she was eating loads but not really reaping the benefits. So this has really helped her understand how nutrient dense her food can be just by adding some nuts and seeds, some peanut butters, nut butters, nut milks to her diet. And she's just, they all have, haven't they, Ali? They've all just flown. We only did it 2 or 3 weeks ago. And they're now coming up with their own recipes. So I think that's the key thing, is we're all sharing ideas. It doesn't mean that my way is the right way and Ali's is the right way. It just means that go out and trial what works for you. So I think we're doing a long run tomorrow and someone's bringing their own flapjack that they've made through Ali's workshop. They've just customized their own flapjack version. Okay. So we're going to try that out tomorrow. So hopefully that will be nice.
Shame it's so far away for us.
I know. I want to join you guys.
It's great. It's just like a mini buffet on a run. That's what I love about it. That's what we call it now. We don't call it a long run. We call it a buffet on a run.
It's brilliant. I think what's fantastic is because everybody's on board with it, there's also that buddy system. When one person isn't feeling it, somebody else is sharing a recipe, you know, and it's absolutely fantastic to get people on the same page, getting excited about food again. You know, there's a lot of people that just get stuck in food ruts. They lose the mojo for it. And, you know, it's just bringing people together to get them to chat about how they feel about it. What new ingredients would they like to try? And, you know, these ingredients are in health shops or in supermarkets, but they're generally the ones that aren't labelled as healthy. And they're the ones you should be reaching for, you know. And supermarkets are really naughty at trying to sell us all these healthy food options. And actually, if you start reading on the labels, they're just full of junk. So I say to the world, you know, just reach for those natural whole foods, you know, that are going to bring you way more benefits. So I'm on a real mission now to try and bring that into the fore a bit more, and now in our town, especially for us runners.
Fantastic. Now, you do have a recipe, don't you, that you're sharing with our
listeners,
so the Dog Fit customers and listeners, and it's your banana oatmeal energy bites. We will share the details of the recipe, but you want to just broadly just explain what's in there, apart from the obvious banana oatmeal.
So I'm a firm believer that it should be really quick and simple. So it's a bowl and you're throwing in some bananas, some oats. If you're gluten intolerant, use quinoa flakes, or you can now buy gluten-free oats. There's some dates going in there, some vanilla, some honey. So it's all naturally sweet from dates and either honey or maple syrup. I think I've got chia seeds going in there, which is a runner's best friend. It's a complete protein. It's fantastic for you. And I think that's about it. Maybe some cacao nibs, which are caffeinated, great polyphenol. If you don't know what they're about, you must go listen to Tim Spector. He's a really good listen. And basically, you're mashing it down. At that stage, there's nothing else added to it, but you can go off piste if you want to put raisins in it, grated carrot. And then you bake it off, and you can bake it as a cake or some little rolled balls or some squares. Or if you haven't got time to bake it, you could just freeze them in a little cube size. And basically, they are an energy bomb to die for. They are really, really tasty and can be very versatile. So you can play around with that basic recipe. But they're going to give you long, slow energy, and they're going to tick all the boxes for carbs, proteins and fats. I think there was nut butter in there as well. So if you're allergic to nut butter, then use seedy butters or leave it out.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I think I'm going to try that. But we'll put the recipe in the notes for our listeners as well. And we'd love to hear from you, you know, from our listeners, if they make it and how they get on with it. But thanks so much for coming on the show today. We've just got one last question. What would be your biggest piece of nutrition advice to someone exercising regularly or upping their levels of exercise? So what's the one thing that they could do to help with their nutrition?
Just eat consistently good whole foods, a good range of foods, and hydration. Hydration is key. So every day is a chance to nourish yourself. And that is the bigger picture, really. Great whole foods, good fats, good carbs, good proteins, and hydrate.
Oh, it's been so good to have you on, Ali, and Lara as well. Thank you very much. And I can understand why you volunteered to be one of Ali's guinea pigs. And
yes, indeed.
And yeah, it's been really interesting. And it's such a big subject matter, probably talk for hours on it. But I'm sure, thanks to you, our listeners have come away with a few tips. And I think the reassurance that it can be easy and it doesn't have to be expensive. No. Just make sure you like you say, plan ahead and have some of those wholesome foods in your house. So you don't just go for the chocolate bar and the crisp. I mean, it's not that you're not allowed to, but it's just trying to sort of, do more of the good stuff. And obviously you'll reap the benefits when you're out doing your runs, which is the most important thing. And good luck for the half marathon.
Yeah.
Your gang.
Thank you. Yeah, they're doing really well. We're only a couple of weeks away, so we've got one long run to do, and then we just taper down. Yeah, so we'll let you know how we get on.
Yeah, please do. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canicross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy canicrossing.